on the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again, cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Mompreneur Model Show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week breaking those myths that mompreneurs, you know, just dabble in business in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, savvy businesswomen finding that balance between building a business and raising a family, and I am so excited to have Dana Wilde here with us today. For those of you who tune into the show, you know I am a huge fan of the multi-level marketing platform, direct selling, and what it has done to empower especially women working from home and creating their own businesses. But I know the frustration level that happens, and so does Dana. You know, she asks, have you ever felt frustrated because your business wasn't growing fast enough? You know what? Dana's the author of Train Your Brain, and she's grown two businesses in record time, and she's here to tell you that you don't need a new system or more work to grow your business quickly. You just need to know how to use your brain more effectively. A unique and proven training method for small business professionals, Dana has inspired thousands to train their brains, and today she's going to show us how, with a simple commitment to feeling good, how she can help anyone build a million-dollar business in record-setting time. And I like that intro, and Dana, I'm so excited to have you here on Word of Mom Radio. Welcome to the show.
Well, I'm so excited to be here, Dori. I think what you're doing is awesome, and I can't wait to just dive in.
Oh, me too. And, you know, I'm serious. With everything that you are doing, I'm going to ask, you know, because I want to get right into your book. And for those of you who don't know the book, To Train Your Brain, really give yourself a gift and take a look, because it really does start there. You know, you talk about how your brain, you know, and our brains shape our lives because of the beliefs that we've stored in it and in our unconscious. And, you know, explain how and where and why these beliefs, you know, happen and why we do carry them with us.
Great question, Dori. You know, when you think about how we all come into this world, we all come into this world little babies, right? We're completely clean slates. And we learn how to do things, like we learn how to stand up and we learn how to take those first steps and walk across a room. And we learn how to reach out into the space and grab an object like a rattle. And if you look at a little baby's face or a little toddler when they're doing those first things, you'll see that they're using their full conscious attention. They're really focused in the conscious moment, taking those first steps, you know, getting, and I mean, there's a lot involved. When you think about walking across a room, think of all the muscles in your legs and the balance and you're navigating space, and same with picking something up. So, you know, a little child is using their very full conscious attention to get good at that. Well, they practice that over and over and over and over and over again, and eventually they don't have to sit and focus with their conscious attention anymore to be able to do those tasks. You know, they can, most of us today, when we get up and we walk across a room or when we reach out to pick up a glass of water, we aren't thinking about it, so to speak. We just do it unconsciously. We do it automatically because we've practiced that so much. Well, this is exactly how we've got these beliefs about ourselves. It goes beyond being able to walk across a room or pick up an object. We all have ideas about ourselves that we have practiced so much that they feel like they're a part of us. Things like, I'm a procrastinator, or I'm shy in crowds, or I hate broccoli, or I love to swim, or I'm an animal lover, I'm not a morning person. I mean, all of these things, we've practiced them so much that it feels like they're really who we are. But really, all we've done is just turn them over to our unconscious mind in the form, you know, have them form beliefs.
Very, you know, and I like how you have good and the negative things we tell ourselves. The good things, you know, I'm a good swimmer, I love broccoli, or I'm a, you know, we do. We kind of convince ourselves, you know.
Yeah, we do. We do. You know, what happens is that it's funny because a lot of times Hollywood has really made a lot of money on this idea that, you know, your subconscious mind is this horrible thing that's just ready to sabotage you at any second, and there's all this hidden stuff lurking in the, you know, it's kind of like this idea of brain as mugger, you know, like it's ready to just jump from behind a tree and knock you over any second. And one of that's kind of one of the illusions I'd like to dispel with train your brain, is that really your brain is your best friend. Your brain is standing there ready to act on your behalf at any time possible. But we have to be the ones being consciously aware and feeding it the information that we want to have in our output. So when you have a belief stored in your unconscious mind, like I'm shy or I'm a good swimmer or I'm not a morning person or I love chocolate, whatever they are, really they're just thoughts that you've been thinking over and over and over again and practice them so much that they feel like they're truth because you've turned them over to your unconscious mind.
So in turning things over to your unconscious mind, you know, what are the thoughts? I mean, you know, people talk about self-sabotage and things like that. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And do you think that people really do that on a conscious or more of a subconscious level?
I don't think they do it on either. You know, what they're really talking about when people are talking about self-sabotage is they're talking about the idea of homeostasis. And really, in a nutshell, what homeostasis is it's the brain's desire to stay the same. And so what I mean by that is this. Let's say you go out and you are a jogger or a runner and you start running. At some point, you're going to have so much body heat that you are going to start to sweat. Your body is going to get hot enough that the body wants to regulate itself, and you're going to start to sweat. So you don't have to make a vision board to sweat, and you don't have to say a bunch of affirmations so you sweat. You know, your body is going to want to automatically sweat. Same for if you get too cold. You're going to shiver at a certain point. So this homeostasis concept, this idea that we've got these certain parameters where we want to stay, and people have them financially too. And as we grow, naturally, our parameters often get bigger. So, for example, when you're in high school or college, you know, the idea of spending $20 on a meal just sounds like, oh, my gosh, that's a really expensive restaurant, you know, or, you know, going out and staying over in a hotel. I mean, there are things that we spend or that we get used to as adults that we wouldn't have dreamed of in our younger years, but that's because we've gotten where we've been able to expand our blueprint or our homeostasis for financial. We've done it with weight. A lot of women can identify with the experience of having two sets of clothes in their closet, you know, and they know that there's a point where that's their high end of their weight and there's a point that's their low end, and they stay pretty much within that parameter without too much effort. And so homeostasis is what people are talking about when they're talking about self-sabotage, but the reality is homeostasis is our friend because it keeps us stable and it keeps us at a certain level financially, which is great, especially when you want to take risky ventures. Let's say you want to quit your day job and do a home business full-time. Well, you can count on homeostasis to find a way for you to financially step up to what you're used to making. So really, when we come to training your brain, all we're talking about is moving those parameters faster, eking up that homeostasis, eking up those blueprint points faster so that you can be making more now. You can be weighing what you want to now. You can have a more peaceful life now. You can find that relationship now. We teach you how to do that by training your brain. I hope that, does that make sense? Does that answer your question, Dory?
It makes a lot of sense to me, but I have to say that, you know, most people really do focus on that whole self-sabotage, and I really like the way you are explaining and sharing the homeostasis and the fact that it's just increasing our parameters.
Exactly. And to see it as a good thing, you know, if you have been used to earning a certain amount of money for a certain amount of time, you know, sometimes some of us get into habits where we worry about money chronically, or we see a certain pattern in ourselves, like, oh, I make a certain amount of money and then I spend it all, then I start to panic or worry, and then sure enough I make some more. Well, that's your brain at work. That's your brain at work stabilizing for you to what your expectations are and to what your habits are. And so in some ways, knowing about this homeostasis, rather than calling it self-sabotage, call it the mechanism that allows me to not worry. It's the mechanism in my brain that makes sure that things always keep me in a comfortable position. So you can give up worrying forever. You know, if you've had a habit of, you know, making your bills, or if you've had a habit of, you know, just having enough, even if it is just enough, you can count on that that's going to be there. And so now you can turn your focus away from all that worry and concern, and you can start putting your focus toward how do you want to be increasing that? What kinds of things can I be saying to make more money rather than worry about the money I may or may not have? So it's really, really easy. You know, I'm not kidding when I say your brain is your best friend, but it's you who's driving it. And if you continue to focus on lack, if you continue to focus on, you know, what's not going your way and what's going wrong in your life, your brain stands right up next to you and says, aye, aye, Captain, I'm happy to help you with whatever it is you want to focus on. That's my full-time job all day.
Okay, and see, now, again, that's where some people say, well, then that's you self-sabotaging yourself by keeping yourself exactly where you are. I like your explanation better. You know, sometimes...
Well, that's it. It's you. Nobody can think in your head. That's the bottom line. And that's the part that I think we've lost sight of sometimes, and the piece that more and more people are stepping up and understanding today, and what we're doing with Train Your Brain, is that you can only think one thought at a time. And nobody else thinks in your head. You have complete control over the thoughts that you're thinking. And so it's your choice. Every moment of every day, if you're going to continue to tell a tired, sad, lackful story that keeps you stuck in your mind, or if you're going to use your big, powerful brain to focus on all the wonderful things that you want coming into your life.
Where did you go?
Oh,
there you are.
Sorry. I think I had a little bit of a leg in my line there. I hope you can hear me. But basically the bottom line is, yeah, I know this is hard to believe, but you can only think one thought at a time. Sometimes it's really, really noisy in the brain. I even have had that experience where you lay down at night and you say, gosh, can I turn this thing off? Where's the off button for my brain? You know? And so believe it or not, you can only think one thought at a time. And so choose it wisely. You know, get more conscious about what you're thinking.
Well, you know, the stories that we tell ourselves that you were just saying about how sometimes those stories in your head, you continue telling yourself that same old tired story. How do you change the stories? How do you write a new story to tell yourself?
Well, what we have a thing we talk about called the cycle of perpetual sameness. And what it means is this. You've got those beliefs stored in your unconscious mind, just like we talked about a second ago. So they're beliefs like, I hate broccoli, or I'm shy in crowds, or I'm not a morning person, or I'm a procrastinator, or I love chocolate, whatever it is. There's a part of the brain called the reticular activating system, and this is the part of the brain that makes sure everything you see or notice in your outside world, it filters through all the information we experience every day, and it matches up only information that already matches our beliefs. So let's say you have a belief, I attract awesome customers to my business. Your reticular activating system says, aye, Dana, I'm on it. I'm filtering through all this information looking for awesome customers for you, for your business, right? So then we get a result. We have an experience in the outside world. Something happens, whatever it may be. And usually, if it's a bad thing, we sit and beat ourselves up about it. And I'll give you a really good story about this story that I know you'll like. We worked with a filmmaker who was having a real challenge getting his projects made because he was very shy. He was just painfully shy. Like, he would walk into an event, a networking event, and he'd try to talk to people about his scripts, and he'd get so tongue-tied, he wouldn't have to think about it. You know, the reticular activating system would make his palms sweat and make his heart start to beat faster, and his breathing would get shallow. All of that happened automatically. It matched up. The outside world matched the inside world automatically, and he'd start to get tongue-tied, and he'd stumble, and he'd, you know, couldn't get a sentence together. So that's not so bad. You know, having an experience, making a mistake, procrastinating once, you know, missing a bill payment once, having a negative experience once is not a bad thing. But what we tend to do, just like he did, is after it happens, we relive it in our mind and we beat ourselves up over and over and over and over and over again. And this is what he did. He'd leave the event and he'd be like, I'm so stupid. Nobody's going to want to work with me. I can't even talk about my project. I can't string a sentence together. I'm a loser. I'm never going to get this made. So the brain doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imagined. So it's like he was being shy 1,000 times, not just the one time it happened. You know, so when you beat yourself up, it's like you're procrastinating 1,000 times. Not just once. If you're late on a bill, it's like you're beating yourself up. You're late 1,000 times. And so that develops a lot of emotion. You know, you get a lot of emotion brewing. And emotion is like glue in the brain. So you take these negative thoughts, you add this glue of emotion, and you really cement into your unconscious mind that same old belief that you are shy or a procrastinator or whatever. So, of course, the next time you go out in public, that belief is cemented in. So, of course, you match up. You start acting shy again or procrastinate again. So round and round and round it goes. This is why most people only experience incremental change in their lives, because they continue to talk about and think about the same things over and over and over again. And so they continue to cement in the same things, which match up, and round it goes. Nothing happens. So if you want to stop, you have to make change at one of the three exits. The first exit is the unconscious mind. You can go out and get hypnotherapy. You know, go and do some self-directed hypnosis. Change your beliefs in your unconscious mind automatically. The second stop is in that outside world, you know, forcing your behavior to change. We use this one a lot. This is a popular one between January 1st and January 4th of every year. People are going out there and they're, you know, vowing to exercise every day, forcing our behavior to change. Not very effective most of the time, though. And then the third place you can get off the cycle is with your self-talk. Quit beating yourself up. You can have the experience. You know, maybe you don't always get the results you want, but instead of using your big brain to focus on the negative aspects of that and beat yourself up and cement in that negative picture that we don't want, use your big brain to start talking about it in a more soothing way, to start saying something different about it, to start telling a different story. Step one in the whole process is becoming aware. Become aware that's what you're doing. Hear what it is you're saying. What are you chronically talking about? What are you chronically thinking about? And then asking yourself, is this the match I want to match? My brain is working on my behalf full time to match up everything I'm thinking about. Is this really the story I want it to match up? And if not, then make a decision to change it. So step three then is to start talking differently. We can talk about that a little bit, but does that make sense so far, Dori?
Absolutely. I'm like copiously taking notes over here.
Good girl.
No, I am. You know, I truly am, because I really do believe that the stories that we tell ourselves are what we make happen. You know, it's almost that self-fulfilling prophecy. You know,
it's your brain. Basically,
you
can call it your brain working on your behalf.
And I like that. See, again, you know, I like your words. I like your words. As a mom, you know, I always think that, you know, the words that you say. I remember telling my nephew one time he had done something, and I was like, you know, what you've done was a bad thing, but it doesn't make you a bad boy. And his father had just been telling him what a bad boy he was and everything, and he just looked at me. He's like, I like how Dory's words a lot better than I like yours.
True, right?
You know, and that I like, you know, the cycle of perpetual sameness, because it's amazing how that cycle can perpetuate itself. I want to get back to talking about that. But first, I just want to take a quick break. For those of you just tuning in, you're here on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with Dana Wild. Our lines will be open. The number is 646-595-3163. And I just want to say thank you to our sponsor today, Dr. Christina Hibbert. And she's the author of This Is How We Grow. And, you know, the question is, what happens when a clinical psychologist and an expert on women's mental health, postpartum depression, grief, and parenting finds her world turned upside down? After her sister and brother-in-law die, Dr. Christina Hibbert inherits her two nephews, delivers her fourth baby, and goes from three to six kids practically overnight. And This Is How We Grow invites readers into her upside-down world as she fights to find the right side. And it's a deeply personal story blended with psychological insights, and it offers an intimate glimpse into her becoming the patient, and, you know, which is a very interesting thing to see have to happen to a doctor. And she struggles to put her theories and expertise to the test in an effort to grow a new family and grow herself. And I really suggest that you reach out to her. It's really a wonderful, wonderful book. You can visit her website at DrChristinaHibbert.com, DrChristinaHibbert.com, and reach out to her on Twitter. You will really be glad you did. It's a very interesting journey to see, you know, the physician, you know, and heal thyself. So we are back here on Word of Mom Radio with Dana Wild, and we've been talking about the cycle of perpetual sameness and how you can change your brain to tell yourself the different stories instead of the same ones that we go on and on about.
Exactly.
And I wanted to ask you, because, you know, affirmations are such a huge thing now. And, you know, how do you feel? Is that something that you see that people are using successfully, or does it sometimes they're feeling that they're lying to themselves when they say good things about themselves and create those affirmations?
Yeah, well, the answer is both. You know, we call them mantras in Train Your Brain, and we use them with really great success. If I had to guess a percentage, 80% of our big success stories, they come from using mantras appropriately, using these affirmations appropriately. And we teach you how to do that, and I highly, highly recommend them. But the reason I say both is because sometimes when we're, you know, saying positive things about ourselves that it's not our habit to say, you know, old school affirmations taught us, and we teach you too, how to use perfect language, you know. So instead of saying things like, I want to get out of bed, you know, the brain hears and sees.
Oh, Dana, you are completely coming in and out.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly now.
Okay, sorry about that.
So go back and say what you were saying. Please.
That's all right, I will do. What I was saying is that really the answer is both, because affirmations are very, very powerful. We call them mantras in Train Your Brain. And probably 75% of the success stories that we have with Train Your Brain are people using a mantra appropriately, saying a really positive phrase over and over and over again. And we teach you how to do that. The reason I say both is because sometimes when you're making a big jump or you're changing something that is feels like it's such a part of you, you do feel like you're lying to yourself. You do feel like you're saying something that just plain old isn't true. You know, one of the examples I like to use is the person that we talked about a second ago, our filmmaker who is shy. Well, if he was going to use a perfect language mantra or use a, you know, old school kind of affirmation like everybody usually talked about, in theory, he would have to walk around saying, I'm an extrovert, I'm an extrovert, I'm an extrovert, and try to talk about that. Well, it's just ludicrous, you know. He'd absolutely feel ridiculous walking around saying, I'm an extrovert, when he's been extremely shy his entire life. It just would fall flat. And it wouldn't work because he'd be feeling like he'd be lying to himself. So one of the techniques we give you is called a transitory statement. And we've got a lot of ways to use a transitory statement, but one of the reasons we're really successful with Train Your Brain is because we try to teach you how to use the brain as it works already to your advantage. So one of the power words in the English language is the word but. And the word but negates everything that comes before it. And it only instills in the brain what comes after it. So what we told our shy guy is we said, start saying things like, and he did, start saying things like, I'm shy, but people like my style. I'm shy, but I'm getting my project made anyway. I'm shy, but I attract all the right people. I'm shy, but I'm connecting with the perfect people right now. So he can continue to be shy, but what happens is now being shy isn't inhibiting his success, because that word but is allowing that mantra, that new positive phrase to come after it, to reprogram the unconscious mind. So mantras are very, very powerful, and if you've used them in the past and you feel like you've been lying to yourself, transitory statements are the way to go, and this is one example of how to use a transitory statement that everybody listening can start doing right now. You know, and when you think about it, sometimes we use these naturally. I have had a lot of friends who are really disorganized or really messy. You walk into the room and their desks are just piled high, and they'll always say something like this. They'll say, I know it looks messy, but I know where everything is. You know, well, if you think about it, they've been training their brain over and over again without even realizing it with that word but. You know, so if you've ever been told afraid of the word but or not, but you can rethink that right now. You can keep using it, but just start using it appropriately, right?
I have to laugh. I think of my partner, Teresa. She and I work, you know, she's my business partner. And I'm serious. You look at her desk, and it is just yucca flats after the blast. And she's like, yeah, but I know where it all is. And I mean, when I tell you, it's like, do you have this slip of whatever, this receipt? And she will just not even start moving things. She'll just look, and then pull it out from, 40 things that were above it. And the 20 things that were lying on, because that butt is absolutely right. But I know where everything is, and she truly does. So I love that. I never thought of the fact. I mean, I know the mind doesn't hear don't. Like when you say to somebody, hey, don't do that. Of course they're going to do that, because they don't hear don't. They're hearing you say, hey, do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I did not know that something that is a really good way to reaffirm what you are doing.
Yeah, reprogram your mind. And I'll tell you something about that word don't. I'm so glad you brought that up, Dory, because one of the neat things about the brain, and once you kind of get this, it really helps open up a lot of opportunity. The brain thinks in pictures. The brain focuses on the main subject of the sentence. So if you say, don't think of pink elephants, obviously pink elephants is the subject of that sentence. And so you can use this with any kind of structure, whether the word don't is in the sentence or not. So if you say, I want to get out of debt, the brain focuses on the main subject of that sentence, which is debt. So much better to say something like, I'm financially abundant. You know, money is flowing to me now. I'm a money magnet. That's one of my favorite mantras of all time that T. Harv Eker recommends, but I just love it. I'm a money magnet. I'm a money magnet. It's visual. The brain focuses on a picture, and sure enough, money just starts flowing to you.
I love that. I'm a money magnet. Yeah, that's a great... You're fading in and out again. Oh my gosh! And now she just got bumped off, because technology is an awesome thing when it works. You know, we have storms going on. That's just the joy of live radio. So I'm going to just keep going here, and I'm going to share some of the things for those of you tuning in late that Dana had said. And she said, you know, that the ideas of the parameters we set are stretched and expanded, and so rather than looking at self, quote unquote, self-sabotaging ourselves, we want to expand those parameters and make them into the visions that we are seeing for ourselves now. It's just going back. Hi, Dana. Technology.
Hi.
Technology is awesome when it works.
You know what's funny, Dory, is that I have this continual mantra that one day I will retrain my brain about that. I just, it hasn't made it to the top of the list yet, but Mercury's in retrograde right now. And everybody around me keeps saying, quit saying Mercury's in retrograde. You're just, and I keep saying, no, look, it's a good thing. That means I only have technology problems during this 3 weeks, and every other time it works perfectly for me. So.
That's exactly how I feel about that. I am right there with you. When everybody looks negative, it's like, hey, at least it's all, you know, cycled into this one little time right here. So, you know, all the glitches are going to happen, and then we've got, you know, the other, you know, 49 weeks of the year where we're good.
Oh, exactly.
It's 49 degrees.
Always the silver lining, right? You got to look at that. That's the whole point of it. It's the bucket's half full. Very good.
You go with what you've got.
Yeah,
you have to. And, you know, that's life. And let's face it, in life, wonderful things happen, not wonderful things happen. You know, I always told my kids, anybody can do well when everything is wonderful. You see who somebody is when things aren't going the way that they wanted them to. And that's when you really see, you know, who you are and what you're going to do about it. And if you are going to get into the cycle of perpetual sameness and accept it and just go, oh, you know what? I mean, believe me, there are so many people in my life that just feel like, wow, life sucks. And have you ever been around those energy-sucking people where I've just made the choices like, you know what, I don't want to be around it. Why in the world would you want to live your life like this? And if this is how you choose it, rock on. Everybody's got the right to choose what they choose. I choose this.
Yeah, I think, and really, you bring us around to a really good point, Dory, that I think is really valuable in all this, and that I can't believe I haven't said it yet, because it's probably the most important point I'm going to make today, and that is the whole reason to say mantras, the whole reason to use transitory statements, the whole reason to tell ourselves a different story is so we can feel better. You know, when people are successful, the reason people are successful is when you get in that good feeling place and you get those juices flowing and you're just flying high and feeling good. And when you start taking action from that place, and in our case, we teach people how to do it in their businesses, how to grow their businesses quickly. Well, that's the secret sauce. That's what we teach people, is we teach them how to feel good, how to feel enthusiastic, how to feel passion, how to feel knowing that things are going their way and that they're turning out well. And it's so easy to use your brain like this when you know how. And then what happens is when you're in that good feeling place and you start taking action in your business and you start making decisions, your pathways in your brain are wide open and you've got these creative ideas coming to you. Well, that's why, because you feel good. And so really, that's the bottom line. You know, if you can feel good more of the time, you're going to make better decisions and you're going to have more success. Simple as that.
You know, one of the things that you talk about, and tell us, what's the little matchmaker that you talked about?
Yeah, the little matchmaker is what I referred to earlier, the reticular activating system. You know, when you think about it, every person who's listening right now, look around in your environment, right wherever you're at in this second in time. You know, take a note of all of the colors in your peripheral vision and the sounds that you hear and the smells and the sensations on your skin. You know, all of these things that are happening in your awareness. Well, the brain, you know, every second of every day, we have billions and billions of bits of information to process. I mean, it's really an incredible. We would go crazy if we had to really consciously process everything that's in our awareness every second of every day. So the reticular activating system does it for us. It's this little matchmaker that lives in the head, and it spends all day, every day, matching up the outside picture to the inside picture. So whatever you believe in your unconscious mind, whatever those beliefs are, That's what the reticular activating system is looking for in the outside world.
Again, writing.
Yeah. So that's why it's so important. You have to really be aware. I mean, they named the whole company the Mind Aware. There's a reason for that, because it's really essential. It's at the very heart of everything that we teach, is becoming aware of those stories that you're telling. You know, and we do it sometimes so unconsciously or so automatically. It takes a little practice, you know. It takes a little practice to get aware. And it doesn't mean you don't have negative feelings or you're walking around like some kind of blissed out puppet all day long. You're a real person in the real world, you know, having real goals and dreams that you sometimes feel confident about, sometimes don't. You know, we have all of these full life experiences. You know, you embrace it all. But what happens is you become more and more aware of it, so that you get to pick and choose which things you really want to bring into your awareness or not. So it works out much, much better.
I would have to agree. And when you talk about picking and choosing, you know, I really think that this is something for people, you know, look at everything. You know, you talk about what surrounds us. I mean, how many people go to bed at night to the news?
Mm-hmm.
And all of the, you know, they save the one last good story for right when it ends. And yet people sit through 29 minutes of just horror to get to that one last story. We are just bombarded in today's world with, and especially because of social media and everything else. I mean, heck, we get bad news in an instant, and good news in an instant, but it's amazing how many people focus that attention on all the negative news as opposed to looking at all of the positive things that are happening. You know, I had to laugh.
Exactly.
Somebody put a post on my Facebook wall today, and it was just the cutest little thing of this cat putting on a mask on itself. I immediately sent it to my daughter, who's in California, and then I had to laugh. I was like, you know, it's so funny to me that anytime I see some cute little animal thing, you are the person I immediately want to share it with. And I love that.
Aww.
I love that. You know, that's the first person I think of whenever I see something cute like this, if I want to share it with her. You know?
Oh, gosh. And how good that must make her feel, too.
I would hope so. I would absolutely hope so. But again, think of how many people, you know, just share all those negative things with you. It's like, wow, what would make you think of me? What you want to share? That's a disaster. You know? No. You know, I want nice things.
Well, I totally hear what you're saying. And I'll tell you something that's real important about what you said, especially the piece about the news before you go to bed. That last window of 30 minutes before bedtime, 30 minutes before you go to sleep, it's a little brain tidbit that it's ultra, ultra important to know, is that's the time period to really be focusing on positive things. Because that stuff that you are paying attention to the last 30 minutes before bed, that goes almost instantly and immediately into your unconscious mind. I'm a trained hypnotherapist. I learned this in hypnotherapy school. And so I just can't stress enough that even if you want to think negative all day long, you know, it's your own business, but try to have that last 30 minutes before bed be really positive information, because the filter on your brain, it just goes right in almost.
I think I am a firm believer in that. It's so funny. Have you ever seen, Validation on YouTube?
Yeah, Validation, huh?
Have you ever seen that short film?
Is it a show?
I haven't.
Is it a
film? It's 16 minutes long, and it is a short film.
Oh, well, now I
got to
go.
It's called Validation. You got to definitely go to YouTube. And what it is, it's a parking lot attendant, and the guy walks up to him, and he's like, I'm here for validation, you know, where you get your tickets validated. And the guy looks at him, and he goes, you are awesome. And the guy just looks at him, and he's like, what? He's like, you got a great face, man, you know. And he tells him all of these really positive things. And the guy's like, Well, you think so? And he's like, yeah, you're great. And boom, he stamps it, validated.
Good. Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
It's just really cool. It's an award-winning short film. And, you know, there's a little sad part in it. It's a beautiful film. But it's so funny because I actually fall asleep every night. I just stick it on. I turn my phone opposite so I don't see any light. But that's a false one. It's this really cute little song, you know, smile, 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 take your frown off for a while. And you know, it's just, I know I'm a goofball, but it's true.
No,
it's
I
nice
love
know,
that. I love that. And thanks for the tip. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go out and watch that right now. But that's exactly it.
You
know,
let me know.
I will. Well, and that's the thing, too. It's like if you start realizing that true success comes from feeling good and keeping yourself in that good feeling place, you start watching more cat videos. You know what I mean? You start clipping more pictures of puppies and babies. You know, you start doing things that make you feel happy, and that's what keeps you in that place where you're successful. Things are on your radar. You have more opportunities open to you because you've trained your brain.
You know, it's funny. I was at the Eat Think Tank for Moms conference in New Jersey last weekend and met just remarkable women, from the presenters on down to the women who attended this two-day conference. It was really fabulous. And, you know, as we were doing our intros and things like that, and I was just sharing with people, you know, the journey I've been on and stuff, and I said, you know, it's really funny, but the reality is you don't have to have everything to have everything.
Yeah,
and
that's the truth.
It really is. You know, some people's idea of success is a lot of money in the bank, and they should honor their ideas of success. Other people's ideas of success are a happy, healthy life, you know, in a completely different thing, and money is money. It's not like we don't need money, but it isn't what wakes you up and drives you for the day. And not that either one. I mean, you know, those people who are money-driven, good for you. Those people who are happiness-driven, good for you. I mean, you know, we all have to be true to who we are, you know. And
yeah,
that's why I love what you're doing. I do, because even in shifting, you're not telling people, oh, you know, we're going to completely change exactly who you are. You are who you are. It's shifting how you see yourself and how you affirm things for yourself that is going to be the catalyst of change. And that's what I like and have gotten from what you are doing.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah, and the idea, too, is that you could be happy no matter what. And that's really, when you start doing this work and training your brain and figuring it out that, oh my gosh, I can be happy no matter what. That's such a great, powerful place to be. That's when life gets really rich in all of its forms. You start to just really live life, get into the game when you start to realize that you have all of it within you, all the power within you. And it sounds hokey, but it is truth with a capital T. And it's really just a matter of deciding to get on that train and ride it, and then it's all open to you. Whatever you want, you can be, do, or have anything you want.
And on that note, what a great last share before we have to end the show, because we've abbreviated it to 45 minutes. An hour goes fast for me. 45 minutes just flew. Please, Dana, let everybody know where they can reach you.
Oh, sure. At Dana, D-A-N-A, Wilde, W-I-L-D-E, at the end. And if you go to the .biz site, the B-I-Z, .biz or B-I-Z, depending where you are, there's a free training there that you can get. That's my favorite price, and it'll tell you everything you need to know about training your brain. So go check it out. And, Dory, thanks for having me. This was really fun.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure sharing you. And I look forward to tweeting with you and seeing you online and continuing to share. I love every day your new mantra, and I try to share it out, and I have to get more diligent. I've been running like crazy, and it's nice to be getting back to an even keel of getting to share, because I love sharing your joy, you know?
That's a great mantra. Listen to you.
Oh.
You already got this.
Oh, thanks. Hey, you know what? I just my goal in life, and everybody knows it, is just to be better than I was the day before. So that's where I'm at this point in my life. So for all of you out there listening, thank you so much, Dana, for joining us. For all of you tuning in, enjoy the show, enjoy the archive, and share us out with your friends. And until Tuesday and social media help not hype, I will see you then. Until then, this is Dori DiCarlo saying thanks so much and go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.